Havertz in a pocket of space. Edison came and didn't get there. Chance for Chelsea. Goal for Chelsea.
Well, as possibly bleak as this.
Drogba! Can you believe it? Chelsea will just not let go in the Champions League. Most dramatic story of the season. It's Torres to give Chelsea.
Unbelievable!
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Reaction Blues podcast. I'm your host Ope. Today I'm joined by Rubio and Michael. Now, Michael, are you going to tell the listeners why you turned up late today, or should Rubio and I do it for you?
We should cook him, even left again.
Ah, man. They're going to put it on me. This is technical difficulties.
Man. Old age isn't technical difficulties. That's
Wait, are we life. Blaming old? Are we blaming difficulties on your bed?
Hey, look, all I know yet is that I set my alarm for 8:40. I was having a nice, comfortable nap. And then suddenly I got Oprah ringing me on my line. It was only the vibration of my phone slapping on my forehead that woke me up. That's about it. Do you feel me? So,
listeners, hey, once you reach past 30, yeah.
Oh, Jesus, look at this guy. You want to keep lying on my
name, Michael,
man.
Before we get to Chelsea, my fellow Nigerian, blow your trumpet.
Everybody blow your trumpet.
Let me blow my trumpet.
Us, the Nigerians, of Reaction.
Yes, yeah.
The quarterfinal of AFCON, where we'll be playing Rubio's Angolans. No one cares.
Can you imagine?
About no one cares.
You cannot next make up, man.
Next Monday.
Do what, bro? If we don't win, God forbid, you're off the pod.
No, if you don't win, I'm modding the pod.
The listeners don't want you to mod the pod. Please. If you win, you're not.
I'll be modding the pod.
Okay.
Nah, yeah. It's West Africa v Calop Nation, man. I cannot wait.
Listen. Jibele will be coming. Oh, rate our striker, rate our thing, rate our thing. You see that finish, innit? You say that now.
Rather gas in Namibia.
You saw the goal.
That was a good finish.
No, it's just Namibia. Oh, yeah, by the way, just want to have a quick message. The first time we've been on the pod since AFCON started. So, Omar has to hold it. Omar has to hold it.
Omar and Bassi, the Ghanaian and the Algerian, they got grouped. Crazy. Hey, Michael, can it be now my country?
It couldn't be us. It can't be us, man. I mean, we got OC. We got Pizarro. Jose, world-class manager. Hey, I can't lie to you.
We're not doing that.
Man is pulling off peak Antonio Conte at AFCON, and you're telling me he's not the guy, bro. I'm joking.
Well done to him.
I'm saying Friday. You listen when you're dead.
But anyway, let's get on to Chelsea.
Yes.
Despite all the chaos, the calamitous season and whatnot, I'm busy. 1 second. I don't know. My dad came in and the Senegal came. But anyway, despite all this nonsense, we're in the final. So, guys, what are your thoughts on that Chelsea Middlesbrough match? I'll start off with you, Rubio.
I was gonna say Michael go first because me and you went to the game together, innit? But to be honest, yeah, in the beginning of the game. I do remember I was telling you, even me, you, Faye and Shems, that went to the game and Els came later. Like, we started the game a bit shaky because the build-up was shocking. Again, we was building up with a 3-1-6. I'll talk about the lineup after, because obviously, like, Gallagher didn't play. He actually played a decent lineup. He went with a back three slash back four. But the lineup was fine, as we said, but The build-up system was shocking. Like, me and you were talking, like, I don't know why he doesn't drop Enzo deeper. Like, in build-up, we've seen Enzo higher than Brozier. Like, that just makes no sense. And as soon as he started dropping back, and then there we got the grips of the game, that's when we actually saw more patterns. We saw more casual play. So, yeah, like, in that game, yeah, as soon as the first and second goal went in, Like, you just saw Middlesbrough dropped. But also, like, I remember I was in the game of El. El was sitting, and El was literally said, this is what should have happened in the first game. You can see, like, Middlesbrough are just not a good side. So the fact that they even beat us in the first game has me confused. But listen, Enzo
It's
dropping another
embarrassing.
performance. Caicedo even, look, people are not even talking too much on Caicedo. I'm fine. At the end of the day, he's doing his work. You don't want to give him flowers, don't. But let's acknowledge that he's not been doing the same stupidities that he was doing when he first came. It was normal. You have to give players time. Like, a player won't come in straight away and just do everything right. So he's been performing. We saw Cole at centre back as well. I liked him there. Prefer him there than left back. But I'm sorry, there's only one player that I know you're going to talk about him, but I have to as well because people don't like talking to this guy. The Sassy again. Listen. And he wasn't even just this game because even the game after we're going to talk about, he also played well. But the Sassy,
It
listen.
was a Rudiger Hall of Fame kind of performance, I
Listen,
can't
I
lie.
said it on the
You
last pod in the studio. Axel,
listen, this
stop
guy,
bothering me,
he
man.
doesn't even play. He's not even playing in his best position. But yet, for a guy so big, yeah, pause. He's so comfy on the ball.
What do you mean,
Like,
Nice. Be tweaking.
progressive player. I know people didn't really like Christensen or whatever, but he was Christensen and Thiago Silva. When they were there, you see the progressive passes. And sometimes when Silva don't play, you miss it. However, with the Sassy, I don't care if you don't like him or like him. Give him flowers for the way he plays football when it comes to that when it comes to the aspect. Because so many from right back to left back, listen, wow, the Sassy, even the goal. Listen, this guy, yeah, he deserves flowers because people grill him for no reason.
No. I agree with you. I agree with you. He deserves a lot of flowers. I think just his overall effect on the game yesterday is different from what we've seen in previous. A lot of the time, it's spent criticizing him about odd mistakes. One thing I hate, and I'm not going to name names on anyone who's on the podcast, but sometimes we use the word, shit. And
Fake,
I've never, I'm not a
fake,
big.
fake.
Don't. Can we not do that? Can we not do that?
It's
Can we
everyone. We're
not do
doing it.
this?
We're
No, let me shoot a shot, but 1,000% fair. And no, because it for me is so reductive to how good the player is or how bad they are. He does have some positive things. No one's asking Dias Sassi to be our main centre back. But we're asking. But we've seen improvements. We've seen improvements. But overall, the Middlesbrough game for me. Poch really has to analyze how we did not win that first one. I remember we mentioned we were speaking as we spoke before about compactness of the team. And in the it's maybe it's a home thing now because I think our home performances have been quite good. But we did see that. Overall our pressing game has improved in the last 2 months. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but I do
No,
believe
I
that
agree.
overall as a team
I
we
agree.
do
I agree.
press much better as well. So yeah, I was there was a lot of things that I saw which I enjoyed. I just don't know how we're going to replicate this away from home.
That's
There's
exactly.
something
That's the
there
same
that's
thing I'm
not
thinking as
working
well.
right now away from home. And for we and we'll get this to get into it later, but we can look at our next five fixtures. They're mainly away from home. But I was impressed. I was impressed with the win. It was the middle. It was needed. We need something now. Big win. Please stop giving me all these 1-0 big win.
And it was refreshing to see the team be clinical because I believe all our shots went in, to be honest with you. And for me, like despite all the trials and tribulations of the Boehly era, it is nice to get to a final again. I was saying to my cousins, like as a Chelsea fan since I've been born, I've never gone more than 2 seasons without a trophy. So to get an opportunity at the League Cup, no
Track
matter how
record.
people think of it, is still a big opportunity. And so the funny thing for me, I was telling Timmy this as well. It's like it's funny when a manager's under pressure, how they start to bullshit. So we all saw the lineup. We all saw it was Caicedo and Enzo, no Connor. So
No
you could
Connor.
see that he fully put the shackles off. And even though it wasn't the most cohesive attacking performance, you could just see the difference at times because when we did want to play quick, we played that bit quicker.
Sorry, quick one.
And that's how we
But
scored the goal. And
it's funny you mentioned that because to me, I feel like Poch has this amazing way of throwing the players that he actually likes under the bus because he's because really and truly, I'm a fan, I like Connor,
Yeah.
but in that game you could tell, the difference with him not being on the pitch in that moment in time, and he makes the I don't know, it's just it must be something within his game management. I always feel like some the players that he likes, somehow he throws them on the bus, like he has with Chilwell, like he has with Conor Gallagher, and with some other people. But yeah, let me let you finish.
And yeah, it was interesting you say, Michael, as well. Like, I was with Rubio in the front, or in like the front row. Imagine they even got me. They even got me on TV. I was so angry because I saw.
Well, you the one that was pointing at the screen. There was one brother, yeah.
Yeah, my friend messaged me. He's like, "Yeah, I saw your fat head on TV."
Yeah, I'm on Enzo's video as well, by the way.
No, but yeah, I was just saying that, like, with Rubio, the build up was poor because I'm like, Poch complains and says he wants the team to play faster, but how can you do that when players are like 10, 15, 20 yards away from each other? Like, that's why we always circulate around the back, because it's literally got the three, then you've got Caicedo, then you've got six man in front, and they're not exactly
isolated. Like,
Caicedo's proper isolated. And the thing is, Bassi made a good point as well. Sometimes he is hiding, because it's like, if he loses the ball, you're straight out of defense, and our defense isn't the most mobile. So I feel like, like we're saying, Enzo's best attributes on the ball. Why are we playing him so high up? You know, like when they say too many cooks like can spoil the broth.
Yeah, exactly.
Too many cooks in attack, it just messes things up, because we're on the left-hand side. We don't know what Chilwell and Mudryk were doing. We'll get on to Mudryk later, because there was an article that came out.
Yeah.
But I felt sorry for him, because it's like, what's he doing? Because it's like, Chilwell is the one underlapping it. Like, we were very confused at what was happening on that side of the pitch. And like, up until the goal, it was looking a bit, do you get me? But like we were saying before, Middlesbrough aren't a good side, especially with injuries. So once one goal went in, I think once the Enzo goal went in, the floodgates just opened, then we're in the final, which I'm very happy with. And just to go back on the Sassy, I was saying it again, he's not a world beater. I'm fully well with this. But watching him this season, I just don't see why there's so much backlash and like, so not hatred, but there's like very strong criticism for him. But because I'm like, in a team that a lot of the centre-backs aren't available, he's there playing. And he's actually he's very comfortable on the ball. And I understand he's not very agile, but he's very comfortable on the ball, which is what you need in this day and age. And his goal was just like, I was so happy for the guy. I love him. Like, that's like a BTEC Rudiger, but you can tell he's good vibes. I'm happy he got that goal. But yeah.
Yep, exactly. And he shows leadership as well. You can tell he's one of the leaders inside. Like,
he's one of the older players, yeah.
Yeah, even like after like interviews, you see how much he actually wants to win.
Mm.
And the fact that people just didn't like this guy at first, because he's like 42 pace on FIFA. Like, this guy's not slow. He's not that slow. They're going to tell me this guy is slower than Maguire.
Nah, it's just like, I just feel like the issue with Chelsea fans is that they don't like being wrong. So once they have an agenda, even when the player's proving them wrong, they will never let it slide. And it's sad to see, because he's actually like, he's a good signing, and we actually needed that at the time, because Trevor and Wes are still, they're still in hospital at this point in time. So they're still in Guy St. Thomas's. So what can we do? Now listen, like, guys, just like, Chelsea fan CT is just jarring, isn't it? Because I was just like, the guy, the two players you want or you like, they're both in guys collecting that NHS, like they're using the resources up. Get me? So allow it.
Pay no taxes, man.
I just want to talk about some individual performances, and I actually want to talk about the home form and away form, but individual performances. I can't lie. I thought he scored initially, but he didn't. It was an own goal. But Armando Broja, seeing as Jackson's been aware of AFCON, guys, do you feel like he's taken his chance? Because for me,
he's got to go.
Listen, Preston, Fulham, Middlesbrough twice, even though the first one's a cameo. That's four games. Those are four games where I'm like, if you want to stamp yourself and say you're a Chelsea player, you've got to take them. You've got to take those chances. And I personally don't feel like he has, but what are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, for me, yeah, it's hard with Breuer, because let me not lie to you, I've been counting the days. The news keeps reporting, you know, there's a certain guy who's potentially coming in the summer. We all know who it's going to be, you know.
I'm talking about him, don't worry.
You know what I mean? And so,
Mabululu, yeah, him.
So, well, you know, we're not getting your cousin. Maybe, but really and truly, I have to give Breuer just a little bit of grace, because I understand the position where he's coming from, where he's never had consistent game time up until now, really, at Chelsea Football Club. You know, he's been competing with Nicholas Jackson for a long time now. And there's just so much in his game that you can tell he is a player that is injury, that is just coming back from a major injury and has just not been able to get enough minutes to be the striker that we need him to be. His touch is loose, you know. That's a big problem for me, you know. Yep. Him not being able to just control the ball simply in tight spaces. That's his game. That's his game at Southampton. You know, look at a lot of his goals in Southampton. It was him being able to strike, his ball striking, you know. His ball striking once, you know, one shot, you know, fast shot straight at the keeper. He's lacking all of that. And I want him to succeed, you know. I'm fair in knowing that not all players are going to succeed at Chelsea. I'm also, you know, I'm also happy to let them succeed in other clubs. That's cool. But I just need more from him right now. I need more because the game against Middlesbrough, even the goal, yeah, I can't lie. Let's be honest, yeah, there's a 50-50 chance he misses that on another day. He probably did. You said it was an own goal, right? I didn't even realize that till now, yeah. I've watched that game a couple times, yeah, and I just keep thinking,
No, even for Enzo's goal as well, it was a poor touch.
Yeah,
there you go.
It was a poor touch short that turned into a pass. Mm.
There you go. And you guys were at the stadium, so I really do think that it's now or never. It's now or never for Armando Broja at this club. The club probably want to sell him already. You know, they already want to. They can make he's an academy player, so they want to make that full profit. If you don't start striking now, not only are you not going to, you know, not only will you be sold, but you're not going to get any more minutes this season as it looks, because Poch is happy to play Palmer and strike as a false nine, which that's another conversation as well. But, you know, so that's my thing. I want him to succeed, but I just can't see it right now. I just can't see it.
No,
I don't know.
Michael, I think I share your sentiments, because before his injury, which I will allow for the grace to be, before his injury, you saw very good traits. He was explosive. He had a good touch. Like, he's got a good ball striking, but since then, since the injury, I've just not seen much from him. He's somewhat of a non-entity. Like, I remember the Preston game, up until the goal, he's not doing anything. Fulham, the touch is loose. And I always think for a top striker at a big club where you're going to be playing against low blocks, that first touch is so important in just setting the ball and holding it and bringing others into play.
It's critical, man.
Once you lose it, attacks just break down. That's why I'm so against. That's why I'm so against Gallagher playing in the final third as well. Even with Mudryk as well. Like, when that first touch is on point, you're just attacks are going to break down. Especially when teams are sitting so deep against us, especially at the Bridge as well, which isn't a big pitch. So everyone's touch has got to be pristine and on point, and his just isn't. And like, for me, for someone who's a striker from young as well, like, I just haven't seen the attributes that I want to see from him more regularly. Because with Jackson, at least you can say, oh, he's a winger, first of all, he's playing his first season as a striker. You can give him that sort of grace. But with Broja, I'm not really seeing.
Can I ask you guys a question about Broja? Because it's interesting. We're linked to that brother from, what's his name? Duran. We're linked to him. And
he's injured, to be honest.
He's injured, but if Broja wasn't a Chelsea Academy player, yeah, and you saw maybe at the beginning of this season that we were going to sign him for his price, which is about 45 to 50 mil, from the player that you've seen before, Broja, he's not a Chelsea player. Let's say Broja's at Aston Villa, yeah. Would you have signed him? Would you sign him? Would you take him for this
school? Before the injury or after?
For the skill set that you know Broja to have. Do you know what I mean? Because that's a key thing.
I would pay for it, but I'm not sure about that much, because he's...
I'll buy him, but not for 50 mil.
Because remember,
I'm not buying. Even the things I saw from Broja, I still don't look at those skill sets and think, yeah, like, you're worth more than Jackson. Mm-hmm. Like, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jackson gets a lot of, like, stick, but as an old package, as the whole thing as a footballer, not just a striker, I think he's better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be buying that much, especially when that other guy that we're talking about that might be coming in the summer, he's looking at around 100 M's. I'm not paying 50 that for Broja. Impossible.
This is it. And that's the only reason I really I asked that at this stage right now, is because there's a lot of talk, people saying that, you know what, yeah, if we do sell him, we're going to miss out, or we're going to lose a striker, you know, and this and so forth. But really and truly, if he wasn't from our academy and came through the process, you know, we would be saying that we probably don't want to sign a striker of his skill set, because he's just raw and not good enough at this stage. So, you know, that's really how I sum up Broja, you know, that's how I sum up the player that he is, the player that he could be great one day. But it just might not be at Chelsea, and that's why we're linked to, you know, the main man.
Okay, yeah. Moving on.
Mabululu.
Shut up, man. Moving on. Please, the final Liverpool guys. How are you feeling towards that? Because I feel like our recent encounters think they will end in draws. But we do tend to play quite well against Liverpool. And with the way they set up, guys, do you think this could be the final occasion when we finally beat them? Or do you feel like Klopp's going, these lot are going to be going Super Saiyan for him to get him that trophy?
It just that game for me depends on the lineup. Like, that's literally it. If we play if Nkunku's back, he's back. Apparently, he's back tomorrow. Wednesday. Apparently, he's back Wednesday. So, if we can keep him fit until then, and Palmer's fit, I've literally got me up. Wait, is Jackson back by then?
Yeah, Jackson will be back by the final.
Oh, so then, yeah, I'll play a 4-2-3-1 with Jackson, Sterling on the left, Palmer right, and Nkunku. Caicedo thingy. Oh, hopefully, Lav is also back because, like, you can tell that Caicedo is a good setter, but that's not his natural thing. So, if we have the personnel back and Poch decides to actually go well and don't just tinker things that don't need to be tinkering, I think we'll be. I'm not sure about just winning, but I think we'll give them a game because, like you said, like, the recent encounters, we've never been, like, blown apart. When was the last time we actually lost to Liverpool like that? Was it Lampard, isn't it?
Lampard, when we lost in lockdown. That's in 90 minutes. Yeah, lockdown.
What was that? Was that the 5-3? The 5-3?
The 2-0 when... Was it Christensen got sent off? That was...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But since then, it's been draws. And obviously, we've lost to them, but it hasn't been within the full 90.
And even that game, 10 men, we were in the game.
Yeah.
And even after, we were in the game anyways, but Jorginho missed the pen.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to bring hate.
No, Jorginho missed the pen at 2-0, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm not trying to bring hate, but even like back then, even with Lampard, our games with Liverpool have always been like close. So I can't come in and say that, oh, like, we're finished because Klopp is leaving now. So the group chat was saying, Klopp is leaving. So now they have more motivation to listen. Our players play for Chelsea. Like, you don't need the extra if the others have getting the season started. So, like I said, I'm not coming here saying that we're getting blown apart. Like, I still think it could be a close game, even though we're 8th or 9th or wherever we are. So bring it on.
Tell Klopp to come outside. I am not listening to all of this talk here that I've been seeing in the media, and I really want to address it because this is the first time in a long time that Liverpool are in discontent compared to Chelsea. And the reason I say this here is because, let's be honest, whether you like Poch or not, the squad actually is quite harmonious. We're not hearing about too many stories behind the scenes. We're not hearing about, you know, the troubles behind the scenes. Oh, this is a crazy story happening here and there. You know, it's pretty harmonious. Whilst at Liverpool, we just heard Van Dijk come out today and say that he's not sure he's staying. Klopp has already said something, which it has reported not all the players feel the same way about. Not everyone is just happy or happy or sad about the decision, you know? So there's a lot of discontent. And I also feel like I don't believe in this thing that Liverpool are suddenly just going to be gunning for all the titles now, you know? No, it's nobody's divine right to win anything, regardless of whether Klopp is leaving or staying. So for me personally, I am confident. I'm always confident against Liverpool, you know? Like, my closest friends support Liverpool growing up, so I've always hated them with a passion, you know what I mean?
Kind of brother
that if I see Pepe Reina on the street, hands are flying, you get me? But that's the way I grew up. And when I'm looking at it today, all I can really say is that we will rise to the challenge in the game, you know? We will take it to them. Us as a team, us as a fans, have to really come in there and support our team the way that we know it can be. Stop all this pussy talk, I'm going to call. Pussy talk. I've said this already. I've been public about it. I'm confident that we can do something. I'll always be confident against Liverpool compared to other teams because Liverpool haven't... Though, how long was it that they didn't score a competitive goal against us in the 90 minutes? Do you know what I mean? In regulation time. So... We just really need to make sure that we're focused, make sure that this is a huge trophy opportunity for our team. You know, like, we know Carabao Cup is not, or League Cup or whatever it's called these days, is not the be all or end all, but it could be a point.
It is. Take it all.
Well, there
I
you go.
I think for me it is because it sets a precedent for a very young squad. Because for Mourinho, like, we're all guilty of it at times, but like, I've not really liked the fact that, especially some fans who don't win trophies, like to belittle winning trophies. Like
Arsenal fans.
yeah, every trophy is important apart from the community shield. I thought that was already established in life, but hey ho, like, don't get it twisted. Some trophies are more important than others, like a Champions League win. I'm celebrating that for like months on end, whereas an FA Cup win, maybe a day, then I forget about it. But for a young team, I think winning a trophy will just set the standards and set a precedent. Like, yeah, we're here to win. Like, we're not here just to get 95 points and finish second and say we're like those best. We're here to win trophies. That's what football is about. And you saw how important it was for Mourinho. And both stints, just winning that League Cup was where it started. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's why I won that trophy. Because, like, the longer
you... By the way, Opie, can you hear me without breaking up now, yeah?
Yeah, it seems a bit better. But the long... Like, just saying, the longer you go without winning, like, the more mediocrity sets in. You see that at Spurs and stuff. You see that at Arsenal to an extent. So that's why I don't want to happen here. So that's why I want us to win that trophy. And like Michael said, like, Liverpool are a good team. That they're scary. But I always feel like the way they play, we've got players to exploit that. We've got a lot of pace in the team. And we saw in the first game at the Bridge. And we saw how much we threatened them. So this game on Wednesday will be a good indicator about where we are. Because obviously they've improved from then on. And we've got new players in. So interesting to see how we fare against them. But yeah, so speaking about other cup games, the FA Cup, I didn't watch the Villa game. Rubio, you did. What were your takes on that game? And should we have
before me go, can you hear me properly?
It's a bit messy, but let's see how it goes.
God, I'm using my data, so I don't know where it's going. I don't know what's going on. Wait, hold on.
It's all right now. It's all right now. Michael, did you watch the...
Well, I did, man. And, you know, like, for me, I think the Villa game, the first half was a symptom of all the problems that we've always had, you know, here when it comes to being potent in front of goal. You know, like, firstly, let me not be completely negative. There was positives again. Like I mentioned, our press is improving game by game. We see it. We've seen that improvement. I think that our midfield, Saicedo's performance in that game, it cannot go without praise. Actually, there's not a lot of superlative that I can't say for him. You know, like, he's just, he keeps impressing me game by game by game, you know. And that was another game where he was able to stamp his performance. Some of the stats that we were pulling out in that game was, you know, fantastic. So, and also I'd give praise to the defensive performance. On the other side, like I was mentioning, I don't know. Some games we just struggle to really capitalize on our chances. And it's becoming a problem where we're seeing where we miss Jackson. Let's be honest, we miss Jackson. For all the flack that he gets here, we miss his hold up play. We miss just the chances he creates by his movement and his effectiveness on the game. Sorry to bring up the main man that was signed in the summer, the man, he who shall not even be named, but don't you love seeing a striker that works so hard for 90 minutes, yeah? It really does galvanize the team, and we lack that. And for the second half, I'll be very honest, I fell asleep after the 60th minute, because I did not think that we were losing this game, I can't lie, but I didn't have the energy to keep watching, man. That's where life is right now, man. Cost of living crisis.
Second half, I was there, and there was one man that I didn't even talk about him in the first game, because listen, he was man of the match by quite a big margin there. Cole Palmer in the first game was amazing. This game, listen, he's just, I love the guy, but sometimes he's just so wasteful in front of goal. Like, he's one of the reasons why we had to play again against Middlesbrough, coming from behind. And even now against Villa, like, at the end of the day, he's not a striker, we know that. But the chances he wastes sometimes, crazy. Like, Madueke had a decent game, he had a decent performance. But then again, in front of goal, like you said, wasteful. So him and Madueke, they had to improve. Sterling didn't really get a chance in front of goal, to be honest. Yeah, he didn't. But I just felt like second half, like, the moment you fell asleep. By the way, you can hear me, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So by the time you fell asleep, you said, who was the one that we brought on? Yeah, Chilwell. So yeah, when Chilwell came on, so we changed the left side completely. So Sterling came off and Badiashile came off. I think it was Badiashile. No, Gilchrist.
Yeah.
Gilchrist came off.
Yeah.
And he slapped on Chilwell. midfielder was awful. Like, it was bad. Because, you know, like, Chilwell was the kind of player that wants to run away from the ball. Like you see the runs he makes. Even the first game that me and Ope saw, like, he's the guy that makes them long runs, them sexy runs like that. And the commentator said it. So, he makes those runs. So, building up the player, he's shocking. Like, it's just straight up. Like, I like Chilwell. I've never had a problem with him. I was even an advocate for him to be signed.
All right. Not too much on Chilwell, man. Come on, man.
I like him. Don't get it twisted. I like him. But in build-up, because in build-up, in the first half, like you said, we was building up in a three. Like, even by the shield didn't play as a left-back. He literally played as a left centre-back. But when Chilwell came, in build-up, it was shocking. Like, it's just, he kept losing the ball. Like, even to make up his mind, he takes like always that extra 1 second. Modric's cameo was shocking. Like, we're going to talk about him. I like him. I'm an advocate for this guy to get time. And I really do believe with a better coach, he'd be in a better position right now. But sometimes there's some things that it's not coach, just you, like, to grab the game. But you know you got the talent. The ball's coming to you. Take a touch and look up. But this guy runs into trouble. Sometimes he doesn't even get the ball. I think he got the ball, like, twice in, like, 20 minutes. That's shocking for a player for Chelsea. Like, let's be real. That part was bad. Gallagher was all right. It was still my own right. I don't know, man. Like, second half, if it wasn't for Thiago Silva, and who else?
Petrovic.
He's another guy that, yeah. Let's go into that now. Yeah, open. Let's go into Petrovic, because, boy, like, and I don't think anyone expected, because even him, like, he was a signing that was done. Like, we got Petrovic, like, literally towards the end of the window, innit?
Brother man. I just quick one. I don't want to toot my horn too much, yeah. But if you've ever heard me speak about keepers, yeah, give me an Eastern European over a Spanish keeper every single day. You know, you know what I mean? I consistently say this, you know, Petrovic is, I could tell from his first game, yeah, just his basic instincts.
He's better than Kepa.
I'm not even talking about Kepa. I'm talking about Mr. Nonchalant, who's injured right now, you know? Like, just do the simple basics as a keeper first. You know, make sure that you're attentive, your focus is one of one, you know, and that's what he offers on the pitch. And then outside of that, he's a good shot stopper. He saved us. He saved us a couple times in that game, you know, and it's not the first time. And he's on a little run. And since he's coming into the team, that's where we've seen our home form improve. So, please, another guy we must praise, Petrovic. Obviously, it's early days, but we must praise him, because one thing that might make me turn on Poch. Well, you guys already know. One thing that might make
me turn on him already now.
I'm about 50-50, 51%, 49%. But what will make me turn on him is if Sanchez gets fit and I see him in that starting lineup. If I see that, then Sanchez, you pack your bags and Poch go with him too. But I'll let Ope go as well.
Yeah, but yeah, I think Petrovic is very simple. Like, didn't know much about him. Don't know why Poch didn't play him in the League Cup games, because the way Poch wasn't playing in the League Cup games, it sort of creates that anxiety amongst fans that this guy might be, like, he might be make a wish. Do you get me? He might be here because of, like, Bodie's doing his friend a favor. But he's come in and he's done a fantastic job. Like, I haven't really got that. You have concerns with the ball, but in terms of, like, shot stopping, coming out for corners isn't the best, but shot stopping, just being a steady Eddie, he's there. And that's just long may it continue, really. Just long may it continue. And, like, Poch has got a difficult decision, especially for the League Cup final, because I don't know how he can justify Petrovic not starting that game when he's been very good for us recently. And that save he made against Villa, fantastic. But just going on to individual players now, an article came out recently talking about Mikhailo Mudryk's year here, how it's been underwhelming. I don't know if any of you guys were able to see it.
I didn't see it, but I saw the chat talk, like the main chat they were talking about.
Sorry, just to cut this off. This Ivory Coast pen, yeah.
Ralph.
Oh, yeah, you started smiling. What happened?
I cannot believe what's going on right now.
Kessie's taking it. Sorry, listeners. We will go back to the... Does he score?
Wait. It should be come of it.
Yep. 1-1.
Anyway. 1-1. Okay. You're ahead.
Wait, so we might get Jackson early.
Yeah, so it's 1-1, and I think Ivory Coast have deserved that, to be fair. But yeah, going back to Mudryk, so they had three things as to why he wasn't doing well. Erratic runs, losing the ball, and reacting slowly. And like, I feel like a year is a good sample size. What have you made of his time at Chelsea so far? And do you think that article is harsh, or do you think they're spitting facts?
Michael, go first, because I'm trying to put this game on.
No problem at all. So, Mikhailo Mudryk, you know, like when we look into him, his career and so forth, we already know that when he was coming from Ukraine, he had about roughly 20 to 30 professional games. That was at the age of 21. So I read the article, and firstly, I just thought, journalists can do this thing where they find the scapegoat, and it really did. I felt bad for him. I can't lie. I was reading it and I felt bad for the guy. Like, personally, I just thought, why go at him? I would be lying if I said some of the stuff that they were mentioning was all lies. You know, like there was a lot of truth in it. I do think that there is context, and once you look at the context, then you ask yourself, all right, do we see a future for Mudryk where he actually becomes the player that the money adds up to? You know, we spent about what, 60 or so million, it can go up to however much. We need to start seeing that player eventually. But we also have to understand that he has less minutes than some players who are currently, you know, coming through in the academy. You know, he has less minutes than, you know, if you were to, for example, compare him to a Jacob Ramsey, you know, a Jacob Ramsey who's in a similar age profile of Mikhailo Mudryk, you know, Jacob Ramsey almost has almost double, if not triple, the appearances.
Even so if you compare him to Nonny, who's, I think, younger than him, I think, I'm pretty sure Nonny's played more games than him.
Exactly.
Yeah, Nonny was already playing, what's he called? First team football, what's he called? PSG. I remember, because he made his breakthrough season. What was it 2021, like the COVID season? And then he was flying from then.
There was around that time. And just one more on my side on Mudryk. I think he needs to start getting coached on, once again, the basics. Just the basics. I don't know what Poch is saying. Like, I really have to ask him, what is the instructions? What are you telling him to do when he receives the ball? What are you telling him to do when he's off the ball? At some point, you know, someone has to be accountable for that side of it. So it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah,
I'm not going to put all the blame on Mudryk, because I understand his situation, you know? But at the same time, yeah, let's be real, yeah. The article wasn't completely lying. It just felt proper damning, man. Like, who was it again? It wasn't Simon Johnson.
It was Liam Toomey.
And I liked Liam Toomey's articles, but I was just like, why Mikhailo, man?
The thing is, players can have a bad game. When a player has a bad game, you still have, like, a base where you can go off. So, like, there's still the basics you can do. Mudryk against Middlesbrough, who were, like, Middles with B team, he did not stand out anything. And like, one of the things, the article, which I've always said about him, he doesn't protect the ball well enough. He's always coming on the inside of that heavy touch, and he doesn't shield the ball well enough that we're going to get transitioned on. Particularly in a game like that one, where we only had Caicedo as basically the only defensive player. You can't afford to be transitioned on with that frequency by players losing the ball. Because like, someone like Nonny could have a very frustrating game, very poor, can be very jarring at times, but there's still that base whereby you know his first touch is going to be on point. You know you can make the right movements. You can make the right
pass. Exactly.
You can still look like a somewhat of a...
Yeah,
Mudryk's base at times when he's having an off game, it is really, really, really bad. And you can't condone...
Yeah, like he does this thing, open. He does this thing, so I've forgotten you. He does this thing where...
Oh, fun.
I don't know, man. He's just... Something, like you said, he don't protect the ball well, but he does this thing where he just... Everything has to be 100 miles per hour, lad. It's like speed. You know the game's speed when he plays these YouTubers. Like, he's run. Calm down. Sometimes, like we saw in some games where he'd, like, hug the touchline, wait, you see a run, they split the ball. We barely see that now. Like, he comes inside, run, or goes out the byline, run, then loses the ball, then goes again, tries the same thing again. Like, there's no switching in this game. Then that's the worry, because for how I watched him, for not watching him fully, because I wasn't watching Ukrainian football, but I was watching him because I remember that season he played against Madrid twice, and I watched those games. I even saw the game against Leipzig that year. And now, like, the way he used to, like, wait for the ball from the outside and coming inside, that from that point of view, I'll touch on Michael's point where we don't know if he's been coached or not, because even in the game against Middlesbrough, this guy wasn't even hugging no touchline. This guy was literally just coming as an inside forward.
Like, trying to point to him and say, like, move.
Yeah. Because like, he wasn't moving.
The one thing the article said was, like, his lack of anticipation. I don't think people realised, but for the Enzo goal, him and Mudryk were in the same position. But by the time the ball comes across Sterling, Enzo's already anticipated, oh, the ball's going to come, and he's in there while Mudryk stays in the same place. And this is things where, like, you can say coaching, but then there's also just the base. Like, we all know that you try and find the space, like, if you've been playing football from young. So it is something to watch out for. Listen, I may be harsh on the guy, but I want him to succeed because I've seen the player.
Oh, definitely.
And when he's on it, he's on it. But you just have to hold him accountable. You have to hold him accountable because the same grace wasn't given to Nonny at all. And it wasn't fair.
To this day. And I've never agreed on that. Like, Nonny simply wasn't getting the chance.
Exactly.
Like, he simply wasn't getting the chance.
So I don't get it. I keep saying, Nonny, as of right now, Nonny's a better footballer than him. It shouldn't be a debate.
He was already a better footballer before anyways.
No, but
I don't get what...
Yeah, but you know how people are like...
Yeah, Chelsea fans are just crazy. They have...
Nonny's a better footballer than this guy.
I don't even want to be too harsh, but if you look at Callum Hudson-Odoi when he made his debut for Chelsea, I'm not going to lie, man. I think he's better than or at least I see most of those basics and fundamentals in his game. He had maturity to his game. That's true, and I think there's a lack of academy level coaching that we're not seeing. I'm asking, you know, what was he doing in Ukraine? You know, when maybe that's what Liam Toomey should go and do. Let's get Liam Toomey to head over to. But you know,
anyway, pod's been good so far. We're nearly done. Like, I think the last 10-15 minutes. Victor Osimhen looks like he could be heading to He looks like he could be heading to the bridge. Every time Nigeria play, he's hugging Drogba at the end. They're definitely talking about which house to move into, London and whatnot. But from what you guys have seen, I just want to ask, do you see him being a good fit? What positives have you seen and what negatives do you see? Because I'll start with one of my negatives for him is that I was telling Timmy this as well. As good of a finisher as he can be, his finishing is very erratic. So there's never that calmness to his finishing. His finishing is always basketball, shakalat. Like, it's very, like, erratic. And, like, at times, you just want him to be a bit more calm in front of goal. Because I was watching them, like, qualifier games. And I was watching one, and it's like, in front of goal, he's always just looking. You know, in that position, I just have to smash it. Sometimes you just need to caress the ball a bit. But we've seen his
positives.
We've seen his positives, we've seen his negative. Guys, international tournament always isn't the best barometer to look at or scout a player, but I think for most people, that's going to be what they've used to scout Osimhen. From what you've seen at AFCON, from what you've seen of him previously, how do you think he fares at Chelsea? Ruby, I'll start off with you, because Michael, I know you'll be biased as a Nigerian.
Oh, so listen, I've been like, For the past how many years we've been doing this pod, you lot know, I even remember there was a podcast with Fumi where I said, I just want my nines to be nines. I just want my strike to strike. Yeah? If you've got the link up play or whatever, that's an extra, that's a bonus. Cool. But if you know where the back of the net is, bring. Plus, let's that on that all round up play, because we like say that when it comes to link up play, if he was the black, yeah, he wouldn't be saying this. Like, it's just straight up, because his link up play is not as bad as what people make up. Like, he just isn't. He's a striker that likes to, like, one thing that I like about him as well is a striker that runs the channels. Like, he's not just a striker that just stays inside. Even like there was that run that him and that little play that he run to the side and then he battled with the centre back. Like, I know people were overreacting with that clip. Like, I said it myself, but I like a striker that moves. I don't like a striker that just static. Everything to feed.
People just took that out of isolation because he was doing that all game in terms of, like, you just had the Cameroonian centre-backs ragged. Like, I think...
Oh, no, you need that. You need that. Especially, like, with the team that we have, the team that we're building. Like, the thing I can finally say that we create way more than we did before. And with Enzo, like, he was asking if he's going to be a good fit. With the passes that Enzo has, it was always looking forward. Palmer, another guy that can slit any defense, like, he's Nkunku, he's already seen it. If he's fit, inshallah, please don't get injured again, I beg you. If he's fit fully, do you know the creativity that we can give just this one man? Listen, just bring him. Bring him, please. I hope he's not suffer, but I hope he flop completely on Friday. But other than that, listen, I need him at a bridge. I need him at a bridge quickly. And this one will work. I really have a feeling that this one will work.
Yep.
Michael, how about you?
I agree with you. I definitely think, you know, like, we have to go back to that game. Chelsea vs Lille, Lampard era, Osimhen. And, you know, after the game, Lampard came out and he said, you know, like, he ran our centre-backs ragged, you know. That's essentially what he was trying to say. It was Zuma and Tomori on the day. And when he came on the pitch, he completely, like, changed their attack. And that's what he does, you know. 90 minutes against Osimhen is going to be the worst 90 minutes of your life as a centre-back. That is what I want from my striker. That's what I loved with Diego Costa. That's what I loved with Didier Drogba. Occupy your defenders for the whole game. If you're not going to be the guy that's going to score the goal, at least make the game a living hell for them. And that's why I want him. Simple. Now, I'm going to be biased, so I'm going to try and say a few negatives. I do agree that his finishing does lack that extra oomph in it. There's something about it. There's something about his shot selection that's always interesting.
It's the same type of shot, bro.
Yeah, it's the same type of shot. I go back to the chance against Ivory Coast, I believe it was. It was where he hit over the bar, yeah?
And
for me, that is that he does have the element to him. If you're crazy like me and Ope with Osimhen, and I know Ruby is, but he's a hater inside as well. Then you probably watched a 58 goal comp or something like that, and you watch his goals and you see what you really know where most of his goals are coming from and how he scores them anyway. And look, with the chances that we create, it's a match made in heaven. He does just need to gain that extra clinical ability. I don't think it's complete. It's hard. Because funny enough, yeah, for all the things that Poch isn't great at, I don't know if he'll be here next season, but for all the things he's not great at, he is known for coaching one of the best strikers of the Premier League's ever seen. You know, and that's given to him, and Harry Kane credits him for improving his game overall. So my hope is at the end, he's the guy for me. He's the guy for me. I don't really want any like
he's
we
coming.
Can have,
he's
we
already can, he's coming.
I've already talked to all the old guys in Niger, and they've already given me the confirmation that's needed. You know, like I've seen the Mikel interviews.
Yeah,
like,
he's coming.
Hey, have you seen that picture with Mikel and Todd Boehly? I've seen the guy smiling. You know, teeth
he's
shining.
His teeth is shining.
Mikel,
tested and proven.
It's finito. So really and truly, all it is, it's a waiting game for him to come at this time. He will come and completely reinvigorate our attack. All I can say up until then, the strikers who are here, match the energy. That's if you can't match the goals, try match the energy. It's going to be impossible because you want selling water on, you know, on the streets of Lagos. You aren't doing that. You aren't about that life.
I've seen
Michael. I'm so glad you touched
down your car in Surrey Larry, fam.
There you go.
I'm so glad you like touching this.
Just to give you pure water, them lot will be running down. It's not.
Hey, Ope, I'm so glad you like touched this because as good as a striker he is, yeah, he's also something that this team lacks, a leader. He will come here and will lead us from the front line up until I don't know what. Because this guy, you can tell, like, the dog in him. This guy has had so many, like, instances in life that you can just tell, like, with his ability of, like, leading. Even, like, at Napoli, he's one of the leaders there. So,
he was the
bring
one
that here.
Anguissa and Co that we can win the Scudetto. He's the one that said it to him. He said it'll happen in the training session, the preseason. He said to Anguissa, we've got a good team. We can do it. He even told Spalletti. Spalletti's like, okay, let's tell the group. And from then, they win the Scudetto for the first time in how many years. This is what Chelsea fans are crying about. They're saying leader. Yes, I agree. 100 million is a lot of money. And there are points to his game where you look at this guy and thinking, is this a 100 million pound player? But unfortunately, that is the market we are in. The bust potential is very high of Osimhen. I can't lie. It could not go well as well, but he's someone I'm willing to take the risk of, not just because he's Nigerian, because a lot of the time as well, we talk about that lack of box presence. If you watch, we haven't seen him so much this tournament because Nigeria have been quite defensive, but in qualifiers, when being on the front foot, he will score the scrappiest of goals. Like, you know what?
I need that.
Yeah, bro, those like, oh, it's ricocheted off the defender and it's come to him, or those one where the cross is there and it's like, trust me, any type of scrappy goal, he's there. And as much as I like Jackson, Jackson just doesn't have that. So Osimhen, that's like he's got
exactly. He's not hungry for the ball. Like, you know, when's the last time we saw a striker of Chelsea or even an attacker score from near post? The ball coming in, attack the first post. Bro, nothing. No fight.
He's very, very hungry for goals, and it's just like we've lacked a lot, because you'll see like Mudryk play a good ball, and everyone's just watching like, "Wow, that's a nice ball."
Oh yeah,
I should have gotten the end of it, but it was a nice ball, innit? Like, I can
Mudryk and Osimhen. Hey, please.
But, yeah, and the thing is, he's a complete striker. Very, he can attack the last line. Very good in the air, even though we haven't seen him much in this tournament. Very quick, very strong. He's very. He looks slight, but he's very strong.
Can I ask something just quickly as well? Yeah, because I know it will, but oh, if Osimhen doesn't come, or if, because there's a lot of people detracting, are there any names you guys are just going to quickly throw out that you would say, you know, is there anyone else? Anything that you, no?
I want Vlahovic. Yeah. That was it. I wanted Vlahovic this summer. It didn't happen. But if it's not Osimhen, then it's Vlahovic for me. Or Tony. But Tony, I'm not paying 100 M for Tony. I'm sorry.
I didn't realize Tony was 28. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. But it's either Tony or Osimhen. Osimhen or Vlahovic.
Just for me. Oh, go ahead. Okay, sorry.
No, you go, Michael, because I was going to end up soon.
All I was going to say, for me, the only other player that I would really want, and I know it's jarring because he's another potential guy, but I really do like him, is Evan Ferguson. I'm a huge fan of him. I think eventually he's going to be at that level. He's got all the ability to be one of the top strikers in the world. But yeah, it's just, yeah, we're not gonna pay 100
not again.
Him. That's the difference.
I don't want no more.
But I'm a huge fan of Evan Ferguson, and please don't talk about that gambler, man. Please, I don't want to hear
I'm tired. I'm tired of going for players that don't even have chest hair, man. I want grown men, man. I'm tired.
Nah, trust me, the dart you saw against Cameroon, the dog in Osimhen is insane.
Yeah,
that first goal shouldn't happen. It should not happen. Really shouldn't happen, but that's just the type of player he is. That's an issue I have as well, because of how he plays. He is very injury prone, because he does leave his body in the line, so it's like that we have to work out. And I know he's strong, but I feel like in this AFCON as well, they've given a lot of nibbly fouls. I just feel like in the Prem, there's some fouls that have happened on him or when he's holding up the ball. I don't know if they give them, so it'd be interesting to see, because like AFCON, like, you know, the centre backs are there, full of a baffle fool. Them
like, you should have seen one man's dish the other day, full of rice.
Because the thing is, like, AFCON defenders are strong, and he's holding his like, he's doing well there. But I just feel like, because he's so slight with his frame, like you know, Jordan Costa, they're a bit stocky. He's very slight with his frame, so I wonder how, like, if he's trying to back into a man, will they not just throw him off? Do you get it?
Nah. Those are the worst, man. Those are the worst, man. The man with the, you know, the skinny arms that once it hits your chest, you can't breathe for 30 seconds. Bro. He's that guy.
It'll be interesting.
That guy, man. I'm
very intrigued to see that. But listen, I want him. I would love him to come. It is that the bus potential is high. I won't lie, but I just feel like I've always said to Ruben, now we can get a striker because we do create, and like, this guy is hungry for goals, like very hungry for goals. So it'll be interesting to see if he makes his way to the Bridge. But yeah, guys, it's been a good pod. Liverpool Wednesday. Can I just get your predictions before we wrap up? Anfield. Well, first league game since Klopp has
announced. Yes. First league game. I'm gonna stay strong, you know, like, I'm just gonna be confident in ourselves, because I do not believe in the Liverpool hype. And I'm gonna say 1-1.
Oh, I'm gonna count on the Liverpool hype. 1-1. Man, they predict to win.
1-1.
To be honest, I was going to go for that too. I was going to say 0-0, but then I was thinking, nah, there's definitely going to be a goal. Actually, there's no solo. Oh, yeah, it don't matter. Yeah, I have a 0-0 or 1-1. Yeah, 0-0 or
1-1.
Who?
Seri. Jean-Michel Seri.
What, the midfielder?
Yeah, because...
What, the one that was at Fulham?
Yeah. Do you remember when
I remember that everyone wanted Seri. I remember that.
This is one thing I hear about Chelsea, yeah? When we get linked to a player, we start bringing up all these articles about how he's so intelligent. He went to Oxford University or one thing like that. Man. And then here we are watching him come on the bench for Ivory Coast.
Yeah, he's having a good game.
But yeah, guys, it's been a good pod. Hopefully we get the win. Hopefully Nigeria lifts the
AFCON. What's your prediction? Hey, don't run away from the smoke.
Bro, I'm predicting 2-1 Liverpool. I don't think we'll win that game. If we get a point, I'll be happy, but I don't think we'll win that game. And I just feel like I liked the defenders we had beforehand in terms of the... That's a stupid shot. But I liked how like Rudiger and Christensen, they could cope with the high line and Liverpool. I mean, they could cope with the pace. I'm a bit fearful of that. Because our back line isn't the quickest. And I believe it will be to Sassy right back again. Anfield, that could get spooky. As much as I like the
guy. Oh, yeah. How's Cole?
It's not as bad as we thought.
Oh, but is he fit or is he injured?
It's minor, but it's not as bad as they thought. I just need Gusto back. Yeah, I just need Gusto.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
He's currently in his rehabilitation phase. Just take that. That's what they'll tell
you. I hate that sentence.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Like, these lot are just... Oh, my God. But yeah, guys, it's been a good pod, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
Love. Pocket of space. Edison came and didn't get there. Chance for Chelsea. Goal for Chelsea.
Not as possibly bleak as this.
Drogba! Can you believe it? Chelsea will just not let go in the Champions League. Most dramatic story of the season. It's Torres to get Chelsea.
It wasn't his fault to win. And if I come to Kane or Vicky, would you have thought of a change? Oi, them man drip, not searching. 20 on me, like punching a toy. Formation, feet, 4 feet, I'm fighting, I'm fighting, I'm fighting.